I turn the matter over now to Judge Rubin to handle public comment.
All right, good morning, everybody. We are entering the public comment portion of the meeting. There are a number of speakers here today, 17. What we're going to do is each speaker will have 90 seconds to make a presentation. Remember, we cannot hear comments about individual judges or cases, but we would like to hear your comments about judicial administration. What we'll do to make it go efficiently is I'll call the first speaker, we'll come up to the lectern, and then the second speaker, in this instance, we'll have Mr. Gorlnick come up to the lectern. We'll have Mr. Sanker kind of come up and stand kind of by the speaker and off to your right. And then I'll keep calling the next speaker so we keep moving efficiently, and in that way we'll get through this morning. And with that, Mr. Gorlnick, 90 seconds. Thank you.
Good morning, Chief Justice, council members, and council staff. My name is Mark Gorlnick. I represent Captain Tom Matouche, a San Mateo County resident. I'm not here to read aloud my written comments that you have before you, but I'd like to make a few additional points. There is ample reason to believe that the funds provided by San Mateo Superior Court are not the full measure required by law. Surrounding counties generally generate roughly 10 to 20 times as much in the way of funds for fish and wildlife programs. Of course, there's the past audit that found the specific problems I identified in my written comments. And even San Mateo County, 10 years earlier, was providing 6 to 7 times as much money to the fund as it has done recently. Now, there may be other explanations. Perhaps San Mateo County residents are especially law-abiding. Perhaps the California Department of Fish and Wildlife doesn't enforce the fish and wildlife laws in San Mateo County, or perhaps there's a high rate of dismissals in Superior Court. We don't know. Only an audit will determine the true explanation. I'm happy to work with the administrative office staff to get to the bottom of this. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Gorlnick. And if we can have Mr. Sanker approach the lectern, and if we can have Mr. Terrace or Captain Terrace take his place. All right, go ahead.
Hello, my name is Hazard Sanker. I am a resident of Sacramento County and a victim of the family law court. I am a former California state auditor for over 20 plus years. And as I have told a number of my colleagues on a number of occasions, I have seen a lot of fraud, corruption within the state service, state departments. But nothing comes close to the heinous and despicable issues of fraud, corruption, extortion, and child kidnapping, as I've seen in the family law courts. Over 80% of our children are taken or kidnapped from at least one parent by the California judges, placed in extreme harm. And the harm I'm talking about is in regards to the biggest problem that we have here in this country, U.S., the child murder death rate caused by directly these issues with the family law court. The U.S. child murder rate is 300 to 400% that of any modern developed country. The U.S. child murder rate is an epidemic, the BBC reports. UNICEF, the United Nations International Children's Fund reports, America has the worst record of child abuse and homicide in the just world, with an average of 27 children killed every week, with thousands of children murdered every year.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, and thank you for coming here this morning. If we can
now
have
millions of children being
Ms.
abused.
Stevens, I'm sorry, sir.
I would call that.
Ms. Stevens, and to come up, and Mr. or Captain Terrace, take the lectern.
Good morning. My name is Captain Kurt Terrace, United States Air Force veteran. 6 years ago in 2009, the Sacramento Superior Court ordered my child to be moved to Washington, D.C. He's lived there for the last 6 years. I just returned from visiting him on his 12th birthday. He was subject to a court-ordered move-away from the Sacramento Superior Court. My child has been separated from his father for these 6 years. He's approaching high school age, and he's struggling. The court did not consider my evidence as a good standing father in the community and instead took the opinion of a counsel in the area that had served on the state bar. She was in the State Bar Committee for Judicial Appointments. She appointed, or she provided the recommendation of appointment for the judge that heard my case. That was a direct conflict of interest. The judge that decided my case had a judicial recommendation from the State Bar, and the attorney who sat on the State Bar counsel for appointments was the opposing counsel. When you have conflicts of interest like that, it just screams of unfairness and injustice. So I ask you to stop child move-aways, and I also ask you to support legislation to create a new tax filing status, a joint parenting tax filing status. Right now, we have three tax filing status: single, married, and head of household. A new one should be created called joint parenting.
Thank you very much, Captain Terrace. And if Ms. Stevens, why don't you come up to the lectern, if Ms. Sayak could take her place at the speaker. Go ahead.
Sharon Stevens, and I'm affiliated with the Center for Judicial Excellence, and I am from Riverside County. Thank you for this council that allows me this opportunity to speak. There's no doubt we are in a crisis in the courts, from traffic court to murder cases, but there is nothing so blatantly evident as in family court. I believe, though, that we are now at a place where we're at a tipping point to change what's going on. We live in a society based on the rule of law, yet I have been in court in Eastern Riverside County and witnessed judges and commissioners totally ignore the law, handing out restraining orders that are basically void because they're not based on the statutory requirement. I know what it's like for a child to be ripped from a family. At age four, I was made a ward of the court, and in 1 year went through three foster homes and then into an orphanage for 7 years. My heart and mind were broken. We're doing this more and more and more to our children. We need to really pay attention to the repercussions that we're going to suffer as a society with children that have these problems. There's a time for anger and criticism. It helps to bring attention to the problem. But the time is long overdue for finding solutions. Now is the time to find solutions and perhaps have a public hearing.
10 seconds.
And to let the public know the facts and contribute their opinions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And if we have Ms. Sayak come up to the lectern, and we'll have Ms. Russell take the place of the speaker.
My name is Vicki Van Sayak. I'm an RN with over 30 years' experience in NICU, OB, PEDS, psych, and energy medicine. I have five sons, and my story is also horrific. I represent Butte County. Published 216. Dear Editor, judges are known for their virtues: justice, honesty, lawfulness, integrity, fairness, ethics, morality, respectfulness. In reality, their hearts are dark. Their motives, self-serving. Their virtues non-existent, and retaliation is harsh. While girls are being raped by men, their focus is on new $65 billion buildings. While boys are being beaten physically, verbally, their focus is on parking lots. I will quote what justice is. Justice must be sacred. The rights of all people must be guarded. The organization of the world and the tranquility of mankind depend on it. The light of justice, the light of men, is justice. Its purpose is unity. Everyone will be held responsible for their actions beyond this earthly life. The laws of society must be formulated and enforced in such a way that it is not possible for a few to amass wealth and for others to be destitute. Human affairs in their entirety should be governed by the principle of justice.
Thank you very much. And Ms. Russell, why don't you come on up to the lectern? And Ms. Morris, if you take your place by the speaker.
Good morning, members of the council, Chief Justice. I'm Kathleen Russell, the Executive Director of the Center for Judicial Excellence. As many of you know, this is the fourth meeting in a row where we have brought people from all over the state of California asking you for a public hearing on the crisis in the family courts, which we have been coming and telling you about for the last 9 years. We are also rather upset today that you are denying media access to videotape the testimony today. We had a video team that is recorded in San Francisco that went through the proper protocols to videotape today and was denied by Nancy Carlisle, similar to the October 28th meeting where you denied the ability of members of the public to testify, having said the day before that we were welcome to speak on specific agenda items. You are changing your rules every time. You've got people driving 12 hours back and forth to testify in front of you, to share their heart-wrenching stories of how their lives have been devastated by the failures of our court system. How difficult is it to get a public hearing where you all can give these issues their proper due? The courts are trafficking children to abusers and pedophiles, and we hear about it every day.
Time.
And we are not going away. We're going to be here every time through 2015.
All right, if we could have Ms. Robinson come up. Is there a Ms. Robinson? And if Ms. Winternitz would come and stand by to go after Ms. Robinson. Go ahead.
Okay. Good morning, Council. My name is Kim Robinson. I am a family law attorney. I'm based in Oakland, California. I've practiced in family law for at least the last 20 years, and I have cases all over the state of California. I, too, along with Ms. Russell, am very concerned about what appears to be a lack of seriousness by the Judicial Council in granting a public hearing about the crisis in the family courts. I can tell you that if you hold a hearing, I will bring you documents to show you that the trial courts, many of the trial court judges in the family law courtrooms, are not adhering to California Rule of Court 5.220, which has to do with the protocols surrounding child custody evaluations. Children are being abruptly ripped from a perfectly fine custodial parent and handed over to sometimes even abusive parents, based on custody evaluations that do not meet the rule that was passed by this council. And quite honestly, appellate courts are not enforcing them either. So we also have cases, and I can bring you the proof if you would just hold a public hearing and take this crisis seriously, that children, even where there are findings substantiated by Child Protective Services, in various counties, children are still being ordered into the custody of
their abusers.
Thank you
very much. Thank you. Ms. Winternitz, if you'll come on up. And we'll have Ms. Hulsebus kind of stand at the speaker.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Tammy Winternitz. I was here for your October meeting. I'm a resident of Butte County currently, having relocated from San Diego County 2 years ago and having extensive experience in the San Diego courts and then previous to that, Yolo County. I'm a child development specialist and a director for early childhood education programs in Northern California now. I work for a federal and state-funded nonprofit agency, and I have 74 families with children in my caseload under my charge. These families frequently interface with the legal system. They depend on fairness and just application of the law. I renew my request for a public hearing, along with the myriad requests you have received since your October 2014 Judicial Council meeting. I come to you, the Judicial Council, the oversight policy enforcing body of our judicial branch of California. We have enormous problems with judicial accountability in our trial courts. We need judicial performance reviews. I bring to you real and current concerns with trial courts refusing to enforce the California Rules of Court 5.220 and the court-appointed custody evaluators violating these rules, forcing litigants into the expensive, arduous, and time-consuming process of an appeal. I have a lot more here. Please grant the public hearing. We have... I'd like to say the consequences of the violations of the California Rules of Court are inhumane to children.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Mr. Snell, if you'll come to the speaker.
Thank you all for hearing us today. I'm looking at your website. I don't know a lot about your
Council, but your website says that you guys are responsible for ensuring consistent, independent, impartial, and accessible administration of justice. And I'm here before you to tell you today that I know from personal experience you are failing miserably to do that in the California family court system. Every time I see a child on the news that has been killed by a parent where the other parent tried to protect that child, the buck stops with you guys. We're asking you for a public hearing, a simple public hearing, to at least show some interest in this, show that you care, because I don't want my child to be the next dead child on the news. And that's what might happen in my case. So you can all look at me today, you can ignore me, you can consider me crazy, but I urge you to take this serious. Give us this public hearing, because it won't solve the problems in the family court system, but it at least will be a step in the right direction. It'll say to the family court judges that you guys are taking this issue seriously and you guys care about us and our children and the children that have died because family court didn't give justice and wasn't unbiased. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Holsabeth. Mr. Snell, why don't you come on up?
My name is E.T.
And then
Snell.
We'll have Ms. Zaya come on up to the speaker.
ETSnell.com. This is no more than a criminal enterprise what you guys are doing. Foster care has become an abomination and needs to be ripped up by its poisonous roots and reconstructed. Kids have become a commodity at $150,000 per year. Judges are signing court orders to medicate children on off-label psychotropic medication as young as 2 years old. You have to see Mad in America, Peter Geske, Google it. The psychotropic medications, what they do to a children, 20, 30, 40 years later, is unconscionable. There's no way in the world that you can allow that. You know, 10% of the children are physically abused, 7% sexually abused, that's 83% shouldn't be taken. That's an absurdity and an abomination to God. SBX 211, Richard Fine, is another sham. This is no more than a criminal enterprise. You have a copy of my book, Penal Code Section 1298, where you post your real estate to the court, yet the federal court gives you dollar-for-dollar equity, and the state court, who has pimped themselves to the bail bondsman, want double the equity. So $1 million bail can cost as low as $12 since the county has the records on the property. It is insane what you folks are doing. It is insane. And so my last 10 seconds, I'd like to pray for you people. Dear Father God, we come to you. We ask you to remove the evilness from this building, the evilness from this, from these people, so they can see the children in their faces and stop the abomination.
Thank you very much, Mr. Snell.
Thank you, and God bless you all. May God have mercy on your souls.
Ms. Sy coming up, and we'll have Ms. Jarman at the speaker. And Ms. Jarman coming up and stand by. Right, go ahead, Ms. Sy.
Thank you. Carol Sy, Oakland, California, Alameda County. Case transferred to Contra Costa County. I'm now living in San Joaquin. I grew up in a very nice family, the oldest daughter of four girls. Compared to my husband's life, fairyland. I have a degree in human development. I've studied holistic health. I married an abused boy who'd been sexually abused by his half-uncle many times, many years, including the three siblings he had. I thought that by marrying him and giving him a secure home could help heal his pain. My life was ripped out from under me. He lied to the court. He made false accusations. He acted like Mr. Wonderful. Child abuse is original sin. And almost all abusive and high conflict divorces involve a parent that has been severely abused. There's many different personality disorders, and I understand that we're all learning about what narcissistic personality disorder is and how confusing it is and how tricky it is to see it and know it. I wrote huge letters. I've been going through this since 2003. I still only see my children every other week. These are my ideas. I believe that my husband and his lawyer are purposely abusing the system. Why do battling lawyers influence what is best for children? Why does the same judge-lawyer system work for families that...
Right, ma'am, thank you.
We need a panel of experts.
And Ms. Jarman coming up, and if we have Ms. Abbott coming up and stand by.
Good morning. My name is Anita Jarman. I'm coming here from Sonoma County. According to a report of the American Psychological Association Presidential Task Force on Violence and Family, it states, and I quote, "To gain control after marital separation, fathers fight to be involved. Recent studies suggest that an abusive man is more likely than a nonviolent father to seek sole custody," end quote. There should be a red flag if an abuser is seeking sole custody, and this is a legal abuse method used. Furthermore, the report states, and I quote, "Research indicates that high levels of continued conflict between separated and divorced parents hinders normal development. Some practitioners now state that it may be better for children's development to restrict the father's access to them and avoid continued danger to both mothers and their children," end quote. In my experience, a violent convicted felon with an active warrant for his arrest for third-degree assault and child abuse got 50-50 custody of our child. There's no reason why anybody who has a warrant out for the arrest should have any custody of a child at all. By giving shared custody, the courts are creating a generation of homeless and children that don't feel like they belong.
10 seconds.
This is unstable and not in the best interest of any child. Please help. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Jarman. Ms. Abbott, why don't you come on up to the lectern if we could have Ms. Hart standing by. Go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you for having me here today. My name is Dawn Abbott, and I am a litigant in Contra Costa County. I traveled here from Shasta County today. And I am, unfortunately, on my seventh year high custody value. I am in my seventh year of my custody evaluation, or not my custody evaluation, but my seventh year in family court services. I have watched all of your videos since October of 2014. I have seen a lot of faces and a lot of people come here from different counties across our state. Currently, you guys need to have a public hearing because 1 to 3 minutes to talk to you guys is just not enough at all. So I am also here for all the children across the state of California, including my own two, who have also been placed, unfortunately, into the hands of the family court orders. Right now, there's a big racket going on from top to bottom in family court services. Children's lives are ruined daily and under poor judgment, greed, corruption, and a biased mentality. Judges, mediators, evaluators, CEOs, and staffs should all be subject to performance evaluations with strict oversight and held accountable. Judicial counsel and Senator Jackson,
thank you very much, Ms. Abbott.
I am asking for mercy for our children.
And then Ms. Prescott, we need to go. Go ahead.
Thank you for having us this morning. This is my third time asking for a public hearing. I'm hoping that this is granted. It should be granted. We're people. Our children are people. I'm from Placer County. The court is corrupt. There's people coming from Los Angeles driving to speak today. We deserve a public hearing to show the proof of what we have to offer you, and it's a lot. Senator, I hope you will give us this council a new breath. Please give us a public hearing. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ms. Hart. Ms. Prescott, come on up. And if we'd have Ms. Anderson waiting to go.
Thank you for allowing me to speak today. Not only in California, but all across the nation, there is a crisis in family court. Pedophiles are growing their own victims, and the perpetrators of sexual abuse are being given custody. This not only will destroy a child, but destroy the life of the parent who is trying to protect them. CPS is not appropriate in these cases, and there needs to be a separate division to help these families. This deserves a public hearing. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Anderson. And now if we could have Ms. Anderson. Go ahead.
Hello, my name is Karen Anderson. I'm Executive Director of California Protective Parents Association. And I want to speak about a huge problem and offer a very simple solution that will save the state and the federal government money. Children are treated as chattel in family court, and nowhere is this more apparent than the fact that custodial timeshare is directly connected to child support awards. I actually spoke to the attorney that was on the bottom floor of that legislation that made that connection, and she said the reason we did that was we were trying to basically bribe dads to spend more time with their children. So we figured if we passed this law that diminished child support for an exchange of custodial time, it would encourage fathers to spend more time with their kids. I thought about that at the time it happened, she said, and wondered if this was a good idea, and now we know it was a disaster. We could probably eliminate 50% of all custody cases by disconnecting child support awards from custodial time. And there's a really simple solution. I could go into that, but there isn't time right now. But that could be brought up at a public hearing.
10 seconds.
We have to take children out of the position of being financial pawns, and disconnecting those two things would do that.
Thank you, Ms. Anderson. And now, Ms. Rogenberger. Go ahead, Ms. Rogenberger.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Rosenberger with SEIU State Council. I'm actually here on behalf of one of our members from the Children's Law Center of Los Angeles. They represent all of the abused, neglected, and abandoned children in Los Angeles County. They have not received a cost increase since cuts started, and she just wanted me to ask that we get a built-in cost of living increase, which should be standard for contracts, so that attrition rates and representation of foster youth can improve. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Rosenberger. And, Chief, that concludes public comment for this meeting.
Thank you, Judge Rubin. We will stand in 15-minute recess to address the other elements of our agenda. Thank you.